Stephen James Edwards is a film composer in Hollywood who has scored more than 60 movies during his prolific career, but his most personal project to date by far is called Requiem for My Mother, a setting of the traditional Catholic Mass for the Dead, which is dedicated to his mother, Rosalie Edwards, who passed away in 2006. Now, there's not only an audio CD of the Requiem, but there's also a film which documents Stephen's relationship with his mother and follows the Requiem's premiere. Stephen Edwards, I should say, is also a native of Ann Arbor, which is just up the road from here.
Of course. Toledo Zoo.
That's right. And he joins us now from his studio in Los Angeles to talk about the project. Welcome to FM91.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you've been to Toledo, I take it.
Oh, many times. Yeah, I had friends from there. You know, it was the town you could drive to in Ohio from 45 minutes from Ann Arbor. It was the friendly Ohio town to Ann Arbor. So,
well, great. I'm so glad we can share this music with our listeners today, because we do reach into Ann Arbor with our local broadcast signal.
Sure. Yeah.
So I understand the album is charting well. It's in the top 10 of Billboard's classical albums.
Isn't that incredible?
I mean,
we're number 6 this week. We've been on the charts for 5 weeks. It's the first thing I've ever done that's ever been on the charts.
Wow.
And I've been working for 20 years, you know, doing movies and TV, and this is the first time I've ever been on the charts. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah, especially with your portfolio. Now, let me ask you this. When did you first get the idea to write this Requiem Mass for your mom?
Well, interestingly, it wasn't going to be for my mom. In 2005, John Paul II, Pope, died. And, you know, he was a pretty seminal figure in history and in the Catholic Church and in just in, you know, the world. And I thought, wow, this would be a really interesting subject to write about, to write a piece of music on for someone like that. And I just started to pursue the idea of doing it and maybe getting a performance or something. And when I did, that's when my mom got sick. So it quickly shifted from an idea to do it for John Paul II to, you know, my mother was, from the point she was diagnosed till she passed away, was less than 5 months.
Yeah. Wow.
So my thought and my process and everything immediately shifted to her.
So you were already working on it.
Yeah, I really didn't write anything. I more formulated the idea of just taking on this gargantuan task. You know, it's a big mountain to climb musically. Obviously, there is an incredible precedent of composers that have written absolute flat-out masterworks that came before me. So when I looked to climb that Everest of musical mountains, you know, I said, well, okay, let's try it. So the only thing I did during the quote-unquote Pope phase was just to say, I'm going to do it in Latin. You know, here's the text. And started kind of, you know, looking around to see how it would, you know, the superstructure of it. But then I didn't really start writing it until after Rosie passed away.
There is so much in the way of children's voices that I hear throughout this piece.
Yes.
And is that significant in the way, like, does it portray your relationship with your mom? Does it have something to do with you as a child? Or
it's all of it. It's my, you know, obviously because I'm her child and she raised me. That's part of it. And also there's a certain delicate innocence that children bring. There's a hope and a redemption and a innocence that only comes from that special noise that a child makes when he or she sings. So, you know, the first theme, the first piece of music that you hear in the Requiem Aeternum, the first movement, the main theme for the Requiem is introduced by the children. And the children have the last notes in the piece as well.
Yeah.
So they are the driving force of this Requiem. And that's what's kind of unique about it.
They have the last words, but it seems like it's left unresolved at the end.
Exactly.
Is that something you did on purpose?
Yes, that's very perceptive. Yeah. It's absolutely unresolved. It's the interview of a major second, which kind of has a certain rub to it. And it's not resolved, and it kind of pushes everything forward, and it kind of shows that life goes on, you know? And that there's this sort of perpetual unresolvedness about our lives, you know? And so it was very much on purpose. And that interval is very significant throughout the piece. And the fact that the children deliver it was very much on purpose.
Do you feel unresolved in any way with the relationship with your mom? I know she went pretty quickly.
I don't feel unresolved. I feel shortchanged. Like I have a choice about it. But,
right. You
know, I did feel there was a lot of emotions that came across because, you know, my parents both died within 5 months of each other. And these were, you know, healthy 70-year-old, traveling the world, you know, going to the doctor 4 times a year, eating right, not smoking, you know, still working, young 70-year-olds. And yeah. They were struck down by this, you know, horrid disease. So, you know, there was a lot of anger there. There was a lot of sadness. There was a lot of just, you know, I mean, their contemporaries are still in Ann Arbor, still traveling. And, you know, the people that they were friends with are still doing their thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're in their 80s now.
Yeah.
So
was it difficult for you writing this piece?
I think it would have been difficult if I didn't write it, honestly. Because, you know, my emotion and my feeling of sadness and my feeling of loss, that was my place to turn. You know, my training as a film composer was sort of the part and parcel thing that brought me, you know, instead of scoring a movie, I was scoring the text. And so it was my release. It was my catharsis. It was my time to write something that allowed me to express my emotions and express my sadness and express my feeling of loss. And what better place to do it and what bigger stage to do it than the way I did it.
I wanted to ask you, as someone who writes music for films, you know, do you think visually when you're writing the music? But it sounds like for this piece, it was all about the emotion and the feeling.
100%. Yeah, there was no visuals, but absolutely, I couldn't put it better. It was the emotion, and, you know, again, the text tells a story. It starts saying "Rest in peace," and in the last movement says, "May your soul live forever in paradise," however exactly translates. And then there's a lot of fire and brimstone in the middle. There's Dies Irae, wrath of God. There's Libera. Yeah. I mean, this is more dramatic than in any movie I will ever do in my life. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just got so much.
And you've done a lot of action films.
And I've done a lot of action films. I've done dog movies.
Yeah.
You know, action. I mean, the movie I just finished was a zombie movie.
Wow.
So, yes. But this is real. This is like, you know, this is like the stuff. And so my training and development as a film composer was what I brought to the party as the guy writing the Requiem. So Candace, the conductor of this, said that, you know, she sort of theorizes that I invented this tiny subgenre, which is film score with liturgical music. It's sort of a little tiny corner. It's a hybrid. It's something that, you know, it's my take on, you know, taking an ancient text and film scoring it, kind of.
Well, let's take a few minutes here and just talk about your mom, because you describe her so eloquently in the film. And of course, you have lots of home movies and things that we can appreciate in that documentary. But you call her a 50s glamour girl, not just a glamour girl, but you say she's a music glamour girl.
Exactly.
Which I thought was great.
Yeah. Somebody said that she was the Sophia Loren of Michigan, which I love. It's so funny because she so loves Sophia Loren. She's absolutely beaming at that comment. But yeah, that's kind of who she was, you know?
Yeah. So she was a musician herself.
She was.
She played the flute, right?
She played the flute, and when I was in high school, I went to a high school called Green Hills, which is about 45 miles up US 23 from where you are. And it was sort of co-founded by my family and my uncles back in the 60s. And when they opened the school, it was sort of as an alternative to the public schools in Ann Arbor. You know, Ann Arbor was kind of a tumultuous town in that era. And when they founded the school, they sort of handpicked my mom to be the first choir director there. So, and she stayed there when I was there. I was there in the 80s, and she was still there. And then when I was still there, she refounded the University of Michigan Women's Glee Club. So she sort of resurrected that group, which had been around for many, many decades before, but had been sort of died out. And so, you know, she was a very fine choral conductor. And then when she sort of retired down to Florida, she had a group down in Vero Beach that she conducted. So she stayed very active.
Wow. Yeah. And she has a musical legacy there. And that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which has continued, obviously, through you and through exactly. this piece. Was she then like your first music teacher? How did your interest in music get sparked then?
She was my first music teacher. Interestingly, I had a piano teacher who is still alive. She's 94, still teaches in Austin, Texas.
Oh.
But, you know, I'd go to her for a lesson once a week, but then the other 6 days I had to work with my mom. And you can imagine there was a few spirited practice sessions because, you know, it's my mom getting after me, and she's getting after me about picking up my clothes and cleaning up my room. And then she gets after me about music because she's the expert and I'm not. So there was, you know, no baseball playing with my buddies until I practiced for an hour first.
Yeah.
And that was just the rule.
Yeah.
So I knew it. She knew it. And so I, from the point I was 7 years old, that's what I did.
What did she think of your becoming a professional musician and composer?
Oh, she loved it. She thought I would lost my mind. And my father especially thought I'd lost my mind, because you really kind of have to be out of your mind to try to do this for a living.
Yeah.
I mean, you really have to have a screw loose a little bit because it's so competitive. But, you know, once I started doing movies and having some success, I was sort of the cocktail party talk for her. You know, she loved to talk about my accomplishments and what I was doing, what film I was working on, and what star was in it. And, you know, if I had a star come to my studio to record something, she thought it was the coolest thing ever. So,
Yeah. You
know, there was definitely a parent pride there.
That's great.
Yeah, it's great.
Now, tell us how this piece made it to the Vatican.
Yes.
It was premiered in Rome.
Yes, it was.
Which is extraordinary.
It is pretty amazing. So Candace Wickey started an organization called the Continue Arts Foundation, which is based in New Jersey. And there's a music festival in Vatican City called Musica Sacra. And Musica Sacra invited Candace to conduct a concert there. So when they invited Candace, Candace invited me. She said, well, why don't we do the Edwards Requiem? And so they emailed her back in Italian and saying, well, what is the Edwards Requiem? We've never heard of it. So we had to send CDs of an earlier performance that we had done of part of it. And, you know, I had to go in front of a committee, and the committee approved it. So then a very long process, which we talk about in the film, happened where she invited choirs from around the country, including one from Wisconsin, a couple choirs from New Jersey, a couple from Florida. And she assembled this big choir, including soloists. And the choirs rehearsed on their own and learned the music in their cities. And then we all flew to Rome and met up and put this big choir together. And we had a couple rehearsals, and we had one rehearsal with the orchestra, and then boom, we're on the stage.
Wow.
So it was very much a challenge on a lot of levels to get it to go on that stage.
Well, it's a lot of people involved.
It's a musical traffic jam. You know, it is a musical traffic jam. I mean, there was three soloists. There were 60 children and their families. There was 170 adult singers, sopranos, altos, tenors, basses. Plus, there was a 50-piece orchestra that flew in from Prague.
Now, when are you going to bring this back to Ann Arbor?
Great question. I would love to do it in Ann Arbor. I think it's just ripe to do it there.
Yeah.
Because she's from there. We still have a lot of friends there. The University of Musical Society is amazing.
Yeah.
So we're starting to get requests to perform it live. We've gotten them from as far away as Winnipeg. I think, you know, it's one of those things where it sort of has to be a grassroots thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the film world is so different because, you know, I'll get a film score assignment and then in a month it's done. You know, I write furiously for months, 6 weeks, and then it's over. With the classical world, I mean, they're scheduling their 2018, 2019 performances now.
Right.
So, you know, you got to put it on the calendar. And I also have an association with Interlaken. I was a student there.
Oh, okay.
And so, wow, that would be a great place to do it. So we would love to do this live. I mean, I think it's just ripe for it. We can show the film. You know,
yeah.
I can show up and, you know, get the organizations involved. I think it would just be an amazing thing.
Well, that would be great. I hope that it happens.
I hope so too.
Let me ask you just a final question. What is the best piece of advice that your mom ever gave you?
Besides brush your teeth, I think, you know, it wasn't necessarily a single conversation, but it was just the, from the earliest memory of me with my music, it was her unconditional encouragement of my expression and the unconditional support for what I do was the biggest thing by far. And to me, her, you know, her gift of music that she gave me was so huge. That's why I wanted to give her a gift that was, even though it seems huge, it's very small compared to what she gave me.
Stephen Edwards is the composer of Requiem for My Mother, dedicated to his late mother, Rosalie Edwards, who passed in 2006. You can find it in pure audio form on a CD, or you can download it as an MP3. You can also watch the documentary film on DVD, which tells the story of Stephen and his mom and how that Requiem came to be. Those are available at the website requiemformymother.com. You can learn a lot more about it there as well. Stephen Edwards, thanks so much for joining us here today on FM 91.
Thank you so much for having me, Toledo.